question. I would like to hand over the conference to Mr. Maurice Oostendorp. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. Good morning. Also on behalf of Pieter Vuijgen, welcome to this call in which we will present the 2019 results. I will do that together with Pieter Vuijgen, who is our intended to be nominated CFO. I will start giving a more generic update on the developments in 2019, and then Pieter will highlight the most relevant elements of the financial results. We are pleased with how the bank has developed in 2019. We've seen an increased recognition and appreciation for the Volksbank as a safe bank with safe products. And we've taken various initiatives to further strengthen our social identity, either through improvement in our climate-neutral balance sheet or various initiatives that we've taken to improve the financial resilience of our clients. We're also extremely pleased with the fact that we have been confronted with a broad political support for the aim to safeguard the social character of the bank following any type of privatization. In the end, it is all about customers, and we're very pleased that in 2019 we've again seen a growth in the current account customers, mortgage portfolio, and saving deposits. Finally, we're also pleased with the fact that we have been able to produce a slight increase in the net profit, which is, by the way, mainly driven by lower operating expenses, a net profit of 275 million, a 3% increase over 2018, and a return on equity of 7.7%. As you know, our mission is banking with the human touch, and every half year we'd like to present a few initiatives that show how we try to further strengthen our social identity. As far as 2019 is concerned, I would like to highlight four. First of all, the policy for saving rates. We've spoken with customers about their view of the low and possibly negative interest rates, and on the basis of an extensive consumer research done by an independent party, we've come to the conclusion that our brands will have to continue to offer retail customers with saving balances of up to €25,000, an interest rate of at least one basis point during the whole of 2020, and above and until 100,000, we have committed ourselves to keep the interest rate at least at 0%. We've come to the conclusion that clients perceive a negative interest rate as an unfair penalty, and we appreciate that. In September, the Volksbank issued its first green senior preferred bond in the amount of 500 million. The issue was substantially subscribed for 1.7 billion, and the proceeds we use to fund activities that contribute to lower CO2 emissions. We've earlier on already mentioned the rent statement launched by BLG Wonen, a statement to provide mortgages to so-called high rent tenants on the basis of a rent statement, allowing them through an explain procedure to buy a home. We had 1,300 applications, invited 160 people to a free exploratory talk, and the pilot project will ultimately be continued with 40 customers. This pilot, by the way, yielded us the Positive Finance Award. And then finally, the Volksbank was proclaimed the winner of the InDutch Driehoek 3D Trophy in December. We won this trophy for the way in which the Works Council is proactively involved by the Board of Directors and the Supervisory Board in our implementation of banking with a human touch. In the Dutch media, we've launched a new campaign, Better for Each Other. a media campaign to show to the Netherlands the connection between the Volksbank and its brands. Key in this campaign, which brings together our mission, banking with the human touch, and our shared value principle, is the better for each other promise. Again, an umbrella that catchphrases our mission and our shared value ambition. Just for to avoid any misunderstanding, this campaign is trying to load the identity of the Volksbank, to explain the link between the Volksbank as an organization and it and its brands. It's not a preclude on a transformation of the brands into a final brand name, the Volksbank. That is not on our agenda at all. One of the elements through which we show responsibility for security for society is our sustainability goals. We are striving for a climate neutral balance sheet in 2030, and we have been further we've been able to further increase the percentage of the balance sheet which is climate neutral in 2019 from 37% to 44%. It consists, by the way, of investments we do in renewable energy, in the issuance of green bonds, and predominantly also in bringing down the CO2 emission of the houses we finance. The last is the most difficult one, because there we need to cooperate together with clients, and Dutch homeowners are still reluctant to invest the amounts that are needed to improve the energy label of their private homes. Maybe in the future we have to await also government actions to support this desired objective. On the financial resilience, we have participated in the Dutch debt support, aiming at preventing and solving problematic debts, and we've been increasingly focused through special information sessions for customers with interest-only mortgages to try to reduce the risks involved and to make sure that people can continue to live in their houses despite the fact that they might not have taken sufficient action to pay off their mortgage. A brief update on the privatization of the Volksbank. Mid-November last year, the Volksbank's future was on the agenda of a general consultation between the Minister of Finance and the financial spokespersons of the political parties in the House of Representatives in The Hague. The reason was the minister's letter about NLFI's annual report on the Volksbank. And in the letter, the minister wrote that a decision with regard to the Volksbank's future could not be made at this time, based on the NLFI report and market conditions, despite the fact that the three-year period previously indicated had expired. During the consultation, the minister expressed his intention to present a broader perspective on the diversity of the Dutch banking landscape, which is expected around the summer of this year. As the Volksbank, we're currently exploring ways to optimize our business model. Our aim is to ensure that the bank is and remain agile, resilient, and shockproof. This includes a consideration of the options of diversifying income and cutting costs. The sustained low interest rate environment, financial and technology developments with related investments, and rising costs incurred to comply with laws and regulations make this a tough challenge. However, we're making good progress, and our study should lead to a new strategic plan. We will inform NLFI of the results of our study in the course of this year, and then subsequently NLFI will prepare a new report on this basis and send it to the minister in the autumn of 2020. In the months ahead, the minister will consult with NLFI and the Volksbank to explore a number of options for the privatization. And again, we're very pleased that the starting point will be that our bank's social character will be retained in any type of privatization based on the broad political support that we have received in 2019 for the social identity that we're striving for. A few comments on the commercial developments. As you know, we translate customer value in two key performance indicators. One is the growth of the number of clients, and the second one is the customer-weighted net promoter score. We're, by the way, thinking about different ways of presenting client value, but that will be part of our new strategic plan. For the time being, we're focusing on NPS and growth of payment accounts. And in both performance indicators, we've seen a further improvement. We've now reached, for the first time ever, a zero customer weighted average in the net promoter score. And already for the second consecutive year, we've been able to improve the NPS. The growth in the customer base was driven by an increase in new current account customers. Our customer base today consists of almost 3.3 Dutch inhabitants. And as part of that, we targeted 1.5 million current account customers by the end of 2020. But we've reached that target more than at the end of 2019 already, showing more than 1.57 million current account clients. Current account clients that also increasingly use those accounts, as we have been able to also see a strong increase in market share in transaction payments. All in all, an 80,000 net growth of current account customers, which with which we're very pleased. The market share of retail mortgage loans in terms of new production slightly dropped to 6.1%. That's mainly due to the competition in the mortgage market and the further increased demand for mortgages with a fixed rate term of over 15 years. On a total portfolio base, the market share of the retail mortgage loans remained stable at 6.5%. Despite the historically low saving rates, we continue to see an inflow of retail saving balances, and therefore we at the end of 2019 increased by 1 billion to 38.4 billion. The market share decreased slightly to 10.4%, can be explained by certain definition elements and the overall composition of the total savings pool. As I said, a further growth of the retail mortgage portfolio, it increased by 0.9 billion, by 900 million, partly as a result of IFRS value adjustments and partly as a result of net growth. Our intention is to at least keep the portfolio stable, where possible, grow it. But we've been confronted, like all players in the market, with an increase of early redemptions, and against which you have to continue to produce new mortgages, at least at the level of your market share. I think this is what I would like to say as an introduction, and I would like to hand over now to Peter to give further details on the financial results and the outlook for this year. Peter?
Thank you, Maurice. This is the first time that I'm talking to you in this call. I'm very happy that in my new role, that I can contribute to banking with a human touch. As Maurice said, in financially, 2019 was for our bank a good year. Our net profit was about 7 million higher than the year before. In the tough circumstances with low interests in our market, This is largely attributable to the decrease of our operating expenses. Looking at our net result, then apart from our income and our expenses, there are minor elements like the influence of impairment charges in 2019, where we see in the second half of 2019 a turn from releases from our provisions to a slight dotation. If we look at our return on equity, then we landed on 7.7% for the entire year. This is very close to our own target of 8%. And by the way, what I would like to say is that this percentage is influenced by our capital distribution to our shareholders, the extraordinary dividend of 250 million that was paid to the Dutch state in December. And this reduction in capital will become more prominent in this percentage as we do a period-weighted average of our capital base. If we then look at our total income in more detail, then first of all, it's obvious that the Volksbank suffers from the low interest environment and that our net interest income decreases. The redemptions, the early redemptions, and the redemptions that we see in our mortgage book that are replaced by new mortgages in the low interest environment leads to a reduction of our net interest margin by unluckily replacing lower interest mortgages in the book. If we look at our fee and commission income, we see a slight increase. This slight increase is mainly driven for higher fees for payment transactions and mortgage advice. And then the other elements in our net income are relatively small. I would like to mention a positive effect that we see from the investment income that we have on our liquidity portfolio, which led to a rise of about 9 million compared to the year before. If we then look at our operating expenses are 6% lower than the year before, and this reduction in our operating expenses is mainly due to lower staff costs. During the year 2019, we were able to finalize some big projects for which we hired temporary staff. And together with the restructuring charges that were higher in 2018, this led to a reduction of our staff cost of about 29 million. Other elements that I would like to mention in respect of operating expenses is a positive revaluation of about 7 million due to a previous contribution in the deposit guarantee scheme that was related to the insolvency of DSB. And the fact that we spent over the year about 8 million less in external consultancy costs. If I then reflect on regulatory levies, we see a decrease from the year before, which is mainly contributable to our contribution to the resolution fund. That was in comparison to 2018 for about 7 million a plus. The reduction in FTEs, as I said, is mainly driven by the finalization of larger projects. And that is one of the main drivers behind our lower staff cost in 2019. If the economic climate of 2019, looking at the economic climate of 2019, then we see a continuation of low cost for credit. We believe due to the lower LTV, the lower loan to value of our retail mortgage book at the moment, also the quality of our mortgage portfolio increased in this respect. What you can see is that our provisioning for retail mortgages, it flipped from a release in the first half to a dotation in the second half. This is mainly due, as you can also see in the broader banking sector, this is mainly due to the to the way that our modeling and modeling in general is looking at certain elements in our retail mortgage book more in line with the broader market. This is also a result of the way that our supervisors look at provisioning. In combination with a correction that we made, a change of estimate that we made with a small effect for interest-only mortgages. The lower LTV from 70% at the end of 2018 to 67% at the end of last year, that is mainly due to the rise in housing prices in the Netherlands and also by the effect of the annuity loans, there where over the last couple of years this effect is increasing and the repayments that are made in an annuity loan is showing also in the LTV of the book for the book as a whole. Looking at capital, there are a couple of significant influences during 2019. Of course, it's the capital contribution that we did in December to the Dutch state of 250 million. But also the reassessment of our RWAs as a result of the TRIM exercise led to a reduction. Our RWA increased with about 800 million as a result of TRIM. Again, of course, offset also by the profit retained during the year. The result on our leverage ratio is that our leverage ratio dropped to 5.1%. This is still above our own limit of 4.75, and we believe we have the appropriate headroom in that respect. Something to mention with respect to our Common Equity Tier 1 ratio going forward. First of all, of course, we see the influence there of Basel IV. But also the Dutch Central Bank that has the intention to increase the risk weighting of non-secured, non-NHG secured mortgages in the Netherlands. And we expect that this might have a negative impact on our capital ratio of 3%. Given our capitalization, this is something we can absolutely bear, of course. We believe, by the way, that the strong capitalization that we have is a necessity to us. We are exposed to the retail market in the Netherlands, especially mortgages, And it might be that you consider this as a relative vulnerability, given the fact that we're not diversified. If we then have our outlook over the year 2020, then it is clear to us that this will be influenced to the low interest environment we're facing. The fact that we have no negative interest charged to our saving accounts, to our customers that have their savings with us, that limits us to anticipate in the low interest environment, and the low interest environment will further put our net interest income under pressure. Therefore, for 2020, it's realistic to expect that our profit will be less. We do not expect a further reduction of our operating expenses. And if the economic climate doesn't deteriorate from its current status, then also our cost for credit will be relatively stable. All in all, that will lead to the expectations that we have, that the net profit for 2020 will be lower compared to 2019. Well, this is the first time that I'm presenting to you. I'm looking forward to answer questions now and in the future. And I'm looking forward to a pleasant cooperation with you.
Thank you, Peter. Just to add one thing, Peter mentioned the development of the Core Tier 1 ratio in 2019, in which we have shown the 250 million capital distribution that we paid out to the shareholder in December. Just to be clear, in our plan for 2020, we do not have a further capital distribution envisaged. Things might change always in the future, but for now, in the 2020 plan, there's no further capital distribution in the plan. Okay, we're open for questions, so please do.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will start the question and answer session now. If you have a question, please press star 1. Your questions will be answered in the order that they are received. So for questions, you can press star 1. Go ahead, please. The first question is from Mr. Albert Ploeg, ING. Your line is open. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for taking my questions. I've got a couple, maybe one bit more strategic, on the remarks that you're currently exploring ways to optimize the business model, including the further diversification of income and cutting costs. Yeah, I appreciate the diversifying of income, but it's also quite challenging given the state of the bank where you are and to build something that's meaningful. Could that also include M&A, for example, or is it more, should we think of things like getting more fee-based income, launching maybe an originate-to-manage mortgage proposition? So some color there would be helpful. Then a bit more financial-related question on the net interest income comments and the outlook there. Could you help us out maybe a little bit also for our modeling purposes? Looking at 2020, what we should expect, for example, for the deposit margin drag going forward, and what kind of potential ECB tilting benefits, if any material, you could still have on a full year basis. Yeah, to get a little bit feeling, of course, what you mean by lower NII, that conclusion we can take, but the magnitude thereof, that would be helpful. Thank you.
Okay, I will take the first, Peter will take the second question. Indeed, we're exploring ways to diversify income, but we've said before that will not lead to a drastic change of our business model. We continue to focus on retail clients and the small enterprises of the SME population, which are served along the lines of retail clients. However, in general, we do think that the dependence of retail banks on the interest margin will have to be reduced, because that margin in itself is under pressure. We are looking for a transformation from interest income to fee income. This is a challenge which has not been successfully done by banks in other markets before, but this challenge is more needed than ever, given, as I said, the pressure on that interest interest margin. There are different ways to do so. You can produce more in order to fight the net impact on the interest income. You can increase the share of wallet, but that's an increase of a wallet that in itself is shrinking. And you can come up with different types of financial services. And that's what we're thinking about, either offering different types of services to private clients, retail clients, or to the small enterprises. It not necessarily includes M&A. It also not excludes M&A, but it's not in the plan at the moment. So it's answering the strategic challenge of the dependence on interest income with the development of new types of services through which we will continue to increase our fee income. We're currently working on that plan. I'm not going to shed some light on that because we haven't finalized those plans. We first need to finalize them ourselves, then we will discuss them with NLFI and also, of course, with the Ministry of Finance. And when the time is right, we will say something about it in public, but not at the moment. But the generic approach is what I just mentioned. Peter?
Yes, Ms. Ploeg, your question about net interest income. If you look at our figures and the presentation that you received and published, you see for the last year a decrease in our interest margin of about minus 10 basis points. The pressure that we see there has a couple of factors. It's the replacement of lower interest mortgages. The higher interest mortgages are replaced by lower. You can most probably make calculations also based on what we explained about redemptions and new production, about how that that fits in our total book. That in combination with the prepayment penalties that we receive, and also where we published what the percentage of prepayments are. So there you most probably can have a quite good indication about what the trends are in this respect. Unfortunately, we don't have a crystal ball. We don't anticipate per se on a discontinuation of the low interest environment. Of course, banks like Volksbank would be helped by higher interest rates in the market. It's not a secret that I bring forward, I believe. So I hope I gave you some ideas that based on the material that we published, that you can do your calculations.
And then maybe one small follow-up also in relation to exploring maybe other ways for cutting costs, and in relation to, of course, the very near-term outlook for 2020 to have no further reduction in operating expenses. Why is that for 2020 you see no room to lower the operating expenses more? Is that to do with things like know your customer kind of investments or other digital investments that maybe compensate or offset, let's say, the underlying and maybe cost reduction that you still plan? Should we see it in that kind of context?
Yeah, let me give you some elements of our cost base and the developments, the anticipated developments in the cost base. First of all, the reduction in staff expenses of 2019 compared to 2018 are to a certain extent the result of finalizing large projects on which we hired external staff in the beginning of 2019. As an example, our efforts to compensate previous clients for the derivatives mis-selling in the Netherlands. Those projects they finalized around that date. At this moment, we don't believe that there are significant similar projects on the horizon. At the same time, it's also not only the Volksbank, but the entire banking sector that has to invest in knowing your customer and transaction monitoring. And there, it is not expected that we have lower costs in the future, but that we might have higher costs. What you do see is that the restructuring that we went through in 2018 does lead to a structural lower staff base and to also a lower staff cost. So that is a factor that we expect to continue. However, we do not foresee in this respect a reduction of our operating expenses.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, for any additional questions or remarks, please press star 1. Star 1 for your questions. There are no further questions.
Okay.
Please continue.
Then we like to thank you all for calling in. Given the fact that you have not asked further questions, we take it that we've been clear in presenting the results of last year. Thanks again for calling in. Wish you a nice day and a nice weekend. Bye bye.